Thank you. were singing this second verse, it just came to me that we know that there are people out there searching for answers everywhere except towards the Lord. I know because I was one of those people. I looked everywhere. I looked at my friends, you know, what purpose do I have, in men, in lots of different vices. There's all these different things that we look for truth, and we look for reality. And I just say today that because we have found the truth and we found that reality, that we can set an example for others. And when you find someone that's searching, whether no matter where you are, I was just at the grocery store the other day, and there's this young girl that I always see working there. And I just told her, she was saying she's going through issues, and I said, just kind of pray for you. You know, we can show people the way because we know the way. And I pray, Father, that as we walk our lives, Lord God, and we see these people that are searching, Lord, that we can say, I was searching too, but I did. I found the truth. Let me share it with you. And Father, help us to do it completely out of love, Lord God. Not trying to force it, not being rude, not acting like we know it all, but just complete humility, Lord God. Because we were just as broken once, Lord. Give it to you. Give you control right now, Lord God. If there's anyone here that's holding on to anything or trying to control anything, which I can say is me a lot of the time, Lord, I try to control a lot of things, Lord. But I have never found so much comfort as when I lay it down and I give it to you, Father. the quicker we realize that we cannot control these things, the better our life is going to be. And the more we can trust in God, the more freedom we get. Father, I don't want to have worries anymore, Lord. I want to give them all to you, Father. Help me to do that daily, Lord God.
His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Thank you. Thank you.
This last song that we do, I just love. It just, it takes me back just remembering that day that I truly gave my heart to the Lord and how he changed it. To me, this is like an exciting, rejoicing song. And it's not completely worshipy, but it's just beautiful. And if you know it, you know how much it means about feeling born again, being a new creation. Completely gotten there. I pray that this song just gets you excited to want to do that.
Well, today I found myself after searching all these years, and the man I saw, he was there all my time.
Lord, and just seeing the people around here today, Lord God, all of my sisters and brothers, Lord God, and for those of the testimonies that I know, Lord God, I just praise you for that, Lord, and just for the stories that we're going to be hearing too, and of how you've pulled all of us out, Lord God. I thank you for your grace, Father, and I pray, Lord God, that we just keep accepting it, Lord. I just pray for your leading today, Father, and that your spirit move, Lord. As I was praying in the car this morning, Lord, I just want to feel you move, Lord God. I want to be out of the way, like I pray every Sunday. Lord, help us to get out of the way and help us to have open ears and open hearts, Lord God. In your name we pray. Amen.
You have 2 minutes to get up here this morning. Oh, thanks, George. You guys are awesome. There's so many people who just do so many things around here. It's just amazing just what servants we have in this church. You know, they never ask to be, you know, recognized, or it's just so beautiful. You know, even I'm trying to, there's some folks that help every Sunday morning certain areas, and you know, you've got different teams doing this, and so we're trying to, the people who are helping to make, you know, that cut up the muffins and to do all this different, you know, every morning, or help with the salad, and just trying to get them together for lunch, and they're just sitting there telling me, we don't need any thanks. We just do this for the Lord. We love to do this. And I'm just like, I'm so humbled and in awe. You know, here we're just trying to take them to lunch and to bless them for serving the body, and they're like, oh man, serving the Lord is just thanks enough. That's what we love. And I just love that. It's so beautiful. I was on my knees here just praying. And it took me another minute or two to get up. We did another 5K hero run for Bridge of Life. Mm-hmm. And so you may be familiar with that adoption. But I couldn't let my, I shaved 15 minutes off my time and couldn't let my little 8-year-old son beat me to the finish line. That was really humiliating. So he wanted to sprint the last, like, 10% of the way. And so, anyway, if you see me just sort of collapse here, leg out, I'm okay. It just take me a minute to get back up. It's a little stiff. So, yeah, Elijah.
At least they didn't pick up the cones.
That's true. At least they didn't pick up the cones behind me like they did last time. Amen. Amen. You know, I was going to come in and tell you that there's a lot of people running. There's a superhero run, so, you know, you get to dress up. I know it's kind of corny, but anyway, we did it. And so I was going to tell you guys that, you know, your pastor got in the top 10 in Sarasota, which sounds really impressive, doesn't it? In my age group? Yeah, sure. But then the Lord convicted me. And I was also afraid one of my kids would say, Dad, there was only 12 running in their age. All right. Let's take a minute and pray, and then let's see what the Lord wants to do. Even as I was saying that the Lord just drew my attention to, you know, in this house, you know, we call it Home Fellowship Church. We want it to be more like a home. We don't want it to be this formal, religious-y thing that we can't have any freedom to do. We want to feel comfortable in worshiping the Lord together and being a family with all our quirks and mistakes. And when I was just saying that, hey, let's pray and find out what he wants us to do, the Lord just, I forgot we actually had this here for a while. It says, in this house, we do second chances. That's what he wants us to do. We do grace. We do real. We do mistakes. We do I'm sorries. We do loud, really well. We do hugs. We do family. And we do love unconditionally. And so, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would help us and bring us to the point, mature us to the point, where that would be each one of our hearts, Lord. That we would surrender completely to you, to your love and to your grace and to your forgiveness, Lord God. And in response to that surrender, Lord, that you would empower us to choose to be the kind, loving, merciful people, Lord, that you would be proud to say, this is my son, this is my daughter, Lord God. That we would have your eyes and your heart beat, Lord God, and your mouth, O Lord God. That we would have your word hidden in our hearts, Lord. That we wouldn't sin against you. That we would be a part of our very being, our soul, Lord God. That would guide every direction, every step, every thought in our life, Lord God. That you would be completely at the helm of the ship. And I pray in Jesus' name that we surrender that now to you, Lord God. That you would be who you are all in all, Lord. We give it all to you, Lord God. Make us into those kind of people. Only by the power of your Holy Spirit can that be accomplished. We're asking you to do that within us, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen and amen. Well, before we get started, Sherry Brown?
Yes.
Am I coming on up here for a minute? Mm-hmm. Those of you who don't know, Sherry Brower is with Child Evangelism Fellowship. Yes, yes. Was she one of our missionaries here before? You know what? That's great. I love it. I love it.
Oh, well, we have a little video.
Oh, okay. Okay. No, no, I saw.
You okay, Dad?
Yeah.
Working through me, it feels wonderful to know that God's using me.
Have you ever asked, how can I live out a more active, vibrant relationship with the Lord? What would it take to put my faith into action?
I was really, really shy, and I had never shared the gospel with anyone.
This summer, high school and college students from around your state are gathering together, learning how to put their faith into action, and you can be part of the team.
God began to use my life, and I had never even thought that I could be used like that.
It's so cool what God will do if you just decide to give up, even just one summer, to give up to His ministry.
Christian Youth in Action is designed to help you cultivate a stronger relationship with the Lord. You will also put feet to your faith as you learn effective and engaging ways to reach children for Christ.
God's just given me so much of a greater desire to see people come to Him, and so much more of a boldness to live for Him.
Children respond as you proclaim the gospel through the Wordless Book, memory verses, songs, dynamic Bible lessons, and cliffhanger missionary stories.
God wants us to tell the gospel. I mean, that's one thing that He wants everybody to do.
When you work hard and apply yourself to this training, you'll discover a new sense of freedom for actively sharing your faith.
You go into the training and you're surrounded by all these people who are so pumped up, and they're ready there to teach you.
Your team will conduct 5-day clubs wherever the children are, in the surrounding parks, backyards, or anywhere children safely gather. These clubs meet for an hour to an hour and a half, 5 days in a row.
5-day clubs are amazing. You're playing with parachutes and big beach balls, and sometimes even just hanging out with the kids and running around playing freeze tag and laughing, and you really get to be a kid again there.
There are all these different names, Andy and Gino and all David, all these incredible kids I met this week, and just spending time with them, getting to know them, and just telling them the good news, what Jesus did for them. It was just so much fun.
They were really involved with what we were doing, and all the kids were there, and it just grows you so much.
There are so many wonderful teams that come together to serve the Lord and to be with a group of people that all have this passion to see boys and girls come to Jesus. There's nothing like that.
It just helped me to grow because I got some real true friends who love God. And every year, it's just like a spiritual growth spurt every summer.
You got to do it to find out you love it. And once you love it, I mean, there's no going back.
So get involved. Bring yourself, bring your friends. Experience Christian Youth in Action. To find out more, go to cefonline.com/CYIA.
Good morning. So, as you see, my job or my mission is that during the summer, teens come together, and we had 5 go out from this area last year, and fortunately, they were all girls, made a great team last year, and we are going for a larger area this year. Sarasota Manatee County area is a large area, and the Lord really spoke to me because I was at state meeting, and they said, okay, we're recruiting now, Christian Youth in Action, missionaries, and, you know, we need to reach more children. And I was like, this is overwhelming. And so I just got on my face before the Lord, and I started praying. I'm like, I can't do this. And I'm not one of those people who, like, opens their Bible and says, okay, just show me God. But I happened to do that, and it says, this was Moses. The people were coming to him. They wanted meat, and they were complaining, and he was basically like, why did you give me these people? And he says, if you will treat me like this, kill me at once. If I find favor in your sight, then I may not see my wretchedness. Then the Lord said to me, Moses, gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. And I will come down and talk with you there. And I will take some of your spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you may not bear it yourself alone. And I was like, no, Lord, I just want your will. And so I am praying for 20 Christian youth in action missionaries. 20. I know that seems like a lot, but I believe God is faithful. And so I'm here today that if you know a teenager who is a believer and that God is calling to be a missionary, we need missionaries. It costs them about $400 for the summer. That includes camp and like gas and their curriculum. And then we have to split it up over the summer because sometimes they have vacations and different things that come up, so different areas. And then we need people to be drivers because there's only one of me, and I would like to multiply that. And then we need people that are going to be supporters, like if you think that you can support her. And then we need prayer warriors. We need people who are going to be faithful in prayer because it says the fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Okay, and I'm going to share one quick story and then I'm done. So I know God's going to do it. Okay, so I read this book called Praying Circles Around Your Children. If you haven't read it, please read it. It's like $1.99 or something. And it talks about praying the Word of God and praying for your children. And I consider all the children in Manatee, Sarasota County, my children, since that's my mission field. And so I started praying for anointed appointments. And I live in Tara, and I never take the back way home, like Linger Lodge, because I'm afraid I'll die back there or something or get lost. I don't know why. And so I just decided to take the back way home, and I turned on my GPS, which is really funny because it's really a straight shot. I don't know why. But I saw this little girl waving her arm, and she was sobbing. And I have to be honest with you, my first thought was, great, I'm going to be mugged. Because I've seen that Facebook post that says don't pull over when you see a mother and child or a little kid because they're in hiding in the bushes to mug you. And I was like, I just have to do this. And so I pulled over and I said, are you okay? What's the matter? She says, I'm lost. I cannot find my home. I cannot find my mother. And they had early release in Tara last Wednesday. And so if you're in a 5-mile radius, you don't get bus service. So she decided to walk home, and it was a good walk. So I said, do you know your phone number? She said, yes, praise God. So we called her mom, and I said, I will stay here with her. I'm not going to put someone else's child in my car, mm-hmm. not in today's day and age. And so I said, I will stay here with you. And I thought, wow, we have this extra time. How about I share the gospel? And I just happened to have a tract with me and a new ESV Bible, and I shared the gospel with her, and she became a believer. And it was so exciting. And I gave her the Bible. I gave her the track. I told her we have a good news club in the school that she's in. Her name is Shania. So please pray for Shania. And when I told her that, you know, God loves you, God created you, you know what her response was? He did. They have no idea who created them. That's so sad to me. I said, He did. He loves you. When I said, would you like to become her? She's like, yes. I hope someday I run into that little girl and she's up here saying, so I was on the side of the road one day and this lady came by and shared the gospel with me. They're out there. They're hurting. We want to hit. Please pray. We want to be in all the Boys and Girls Club and all the YMCAs. I've decided, like, okay, God, if you're going to send me out there, I'm going to go big. because that's where the kids are. And if anybody's going to open the door, God is. And so please pray for us. We're praying for how many missionaries this summer?
20!
Yes. And we're praying for drivers and for the finances and everything. And we just want to see this county catch on fire for Jesus.
Sherry, could you, before you get down, could you explain what, like you said, it would be like $400 for those 20 days. What's required of them if they have interest in maybe?
Okay. This is what's going to happen is that you, I have a sign-up sheet in the back. I have a sign-up sheet for teenagers who are interested. We go from 12 to like 20. Who are interested in Christian Youth in Action, you must be born again. You must be a believer. And then we go, we have two choices in June. I have the dates. I'll share them in the back with you. You pick one of those weeks, and you go to Orlando this year to a college campus. And then it is a week. Kayla, raise your hand. Sarah, raise your hand. Okay? Raise your hand. Right now.
Higher.
Okay. Higher. I see you. Okay. Dave, nod your head. It is intense, isn't it? It is intense. It is. You must know some scriptures before you come. We will have some training before we go. And it is an intense week of training on how to share the gospel, how to share a missionary story, how to lead a child to Christ. And then we come back, and then we work with your parents and the areas around us, and we set up five-day clubs. It's kind of like VBS. It's an hour and a half. And we go, but it ends up being like 3 to 4 hours because by the time you travel and you play with kids and you share the gospel and they feed you, then it, you know, it's a big part of the day. And we go to different areas in Sarasota, Manatee County and share the gospel for that week. And I have to tell you that I saw big changes in the girls that went. And the biggest change was Kayla kept saying all the time, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm too shy. I hate talking to people. Yes, I'm using your name, Kayla. And I saw Kayla get up there and share the missionary story. And it was like a different little person. She just got so excited and so into the story. I'm sorry Mom couldn't come in and see it. It was really exciting. I'm going to have to videotape it this year. And it was just a great transformation. I enjoyed getting to know Sarah and Kayla and Hannah and Katie. I felt like I learned from them, and we had great conversations in the car. And so if you want to be a part of this, you meet me afterwards. I have some sign-up sheets. It's old-fashioned because my printer didn't work this morning, but we're ready to sign you up.
Okay.
Can I help you?
Oh, no, I can't. What was that young girl's name again?
Kayla?
No, not Kayla.
Shania.
Not on
the Shania.
Shania.
Like Shania Twain.
Okay, let's take a minute and let's pray for her right now. Father God, we just want to thank you for Shania, Lord God. And, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you would get her plugged in to a good Bible teaching church, Lord God, that she could grow, that she would desire the pure milk of the Word. Lord, we pray that that would be infectious in her family. Lord God, it wouldn't be resented or whatever, but regardless of what it is, we pray that you would keep her, Lord, that you who began that good work would be faithful to complete it for the glory of Christ Jesus. Lord, I'm thinking right now of, I think it's Isaiah, Lord God, that little boy who's with that injury, Lord God, that I just pray for healing for that little boy, Lord. I don't know why he's coming to mind. Also, I pray for just Debbie Jo, Lord, and that you would provide just a bed, mattress, and bed set for her, Lord God. And I pray for my friend Sherry, Lord God. I pray that you would just anoint her for the work of the ministry, Lord, as you already have, but you would empower her, Lord God, to do whatever it is that you want her to do, Lord, that you bring people to her, Lord, that share that same heart, Lord God, and that you would encourage and equip many, Lord. I pray if there's any teens here, Lord God, that are willing to put in the effort and to, I don't know, do hard things, Lord God, for you, Lord, that they would talk to her afterwards, Lord, and just go for it and dive in, Lord God, and that you would use that, Lord, to whatever extent, Lord. I pray that you would just bless and equip and encourage. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, would you guys mind hitting the lights? And I'm going to go through the announcements relatively quickly. If you need a Bible, would you raise your hand, Joe and Elijah? Can you grab a couple Bibles? Thank you. If you need a Bible, raise your hand, and Joe and Elijah will bring one out to you. A couple things. If you missed last week's introduction to our new book, I would really encourage you to listen to it. Because, It's a powerful word. And you can now see hear that online at www.homefellowship.com. Also, we're looking for folks to help in the children's church back there. We're looking for a teacher once a month for 0 to 5 year olds. If you're interested and you feel led and you'd like to pour into the kids, we'd love to have that extra help if you need it. Also, prayer this morning on Sundays. I didn't get to be here today. I was late. About 9 a.m., folks are praying for this body. I love it. Also, if anyone is interested, we have a daytime Bible study. I know a lot of people work and are busy doing kids and homeschools and that. But we have a verse-by-verse Exodus Women's Bible Study, Wednesdays, 10 a.m. to 11:30, going through the book of Exodus, chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse. If you're interested, call Gloria this week, and we'll get you plugged in. Also, we've got a Women's Bible Study in James this Tuesday here at Home Fellowship Church, 6:30 for fellowship, 7 p.m. start. Is Lisa here? Oh, hi, honey. Sorry. And what's going to be sharing?
We have a DVD from a women's conference. We have a DVD that was really encouraging to me from a women's conference, and she's actually speaking, she's giving her testimony, and it's all around scripture in James chapter 4. So come on out. It's just another way of hearing and learning more about the scriptures that we're already studying.
Should I do it now? No, Lord, tell me that.
Okay,
also the Whosoever's Youth Group at Mandy County Youth for Christ, 6:30 to 8:30. Now, Sherry, you're having a fun night for us.
The 30th.
And that is?
The 30th.
Next
30th, yeah, next Wednesday.
Right.
Is that a problem?
No.
Okay. I saw that face.
Yes. Okay. Also, we have Kingdom Living this Friday. Is that correct? And that's going to be at your house or? Okay, at Sue Berger's house. Okay, and everyone's invited to come out. That's just basically a Christian discussion group, and everyone is welcome to come. Okay. Even me. Okay, that's true. One quick question before we get into the Bible study. That value of a soul that we watched a couple weeks ago, is that, I just want you to think about this. You don't have to give an answer right now, but I would just like to know, we would like to do evangelize the neighborhood too. And if you thought that video was powerful and that would be a good evangelistic tool to give to all of our neighbors in Jesus' name, or if you think, man, that wasn't, it'd be terrible to do that, would you communicate that and to me at some point? So just think about it. And if that was powerful, you remember those three people that affected the biker girl and the military guy and the rapper. So if you think that would be a powerful tool to give away free in Jesus' name, would you let me know? Let us know. And if you don't think it would be, you know, when you hand out the gospel, people are going to reject it. That's just going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't want to let fear stop us. But if we were to do something like that and flood the neighborhood with the gospel, would you just communicate whether you thought it was good or bad? Sometime next week, could you? Okay? Oh, thank you. Okay, so we are in the book of Romans.
Darren.
Yes.
Can I have just one announcement, kind of housekeeping?
Sure.
When we park, I know it's really confusing because we don't have anything that says, okay, here's where we park, here's where we don't park. But when we get really full, we need to go back between those two beautiful oak trees. So if you cannot park right between the two oak trees, so people can get back there and start parking that way. I know in the future we should be able to mark it better where people park, but it's on the list. Thanks.
Okay, we are in the book of Romans. Saved to serve, not ashamed of the gospel, the power of salvation. We talked about last week, we went over lots of verses. Romans has been called the Fort Knox of Bible doctrine. And so, skip that. Talked about the book of Romans. It was written about 57 A.D. Paul was in Corinth at the time. He hadn't been to Rome yet during his third missionary journey. It talks about sin. Romans is going to talk about sin. It's going to talk about salvation. It's going to talk about sanctification. It's going to talk about selection. It's going to talk about service and living the gospel. The author is Paul. You can read that for yourself as he starts off saying that in Romans 1:1. It was scribed for him, almost like a secretary or whatever, by Tertius, and that's, you can find that in Romans 16:22, and it was delivered by a godly woman named Phoebe. And she delivered that letter along with Paul's greetings, and you can read that in Romans 16, 1 through 2. The theme, God bless her. The theme of the book of Romans is God's righteousness is given to those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And the key verse is Romans 1, 16 to 17, which says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. You know that it changed people's lives. John Calvin said that in it he found all the treasures hidden in Scripture in the book of Romans, and it changed his life. You know, William Tyndale, he said, no man can read too often or study it too well. Powerful book. Martin Lloyd-Jones said it was a colossal and incomparable statement of Christian truth. You know, John Bunyan, while studying Romans, inspired him. The Holy Spirit inspired him to write the most popular book besides the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress, one of the greatest books of all times. People like John Piper said that the greatest letter ever written was said in regards to Romans. You know how it changed the Chrysostom. You know, had it read to him every week for 18 years. You know, Augustine, St. Augustine, when he read through the book of Romans, God gripped his heart and changed his life, and he became born again. You know that folks like John Wesley, the same thing happened to him through the book of Romans. You know, Martin Luther, when he was reading the book of Romans, God gripped his heart. He felt so hopeless, and God gripped his heart. And even folks like in modern day, like somebody, Chuck Smith, who helped me to come to know and love the Word of God, he was changed when he wrote the book of Romans. Or one of my favorite commentators now, John Corson. God totally transformed his life. And because Romans talks so much about our own sin and depravity, it's going to start off that it's going to be kind of like, oh man, I'm a wretched sinner. That's pretty terrible. But you know what? You are a wretched sinner. But you have an amazing God who's willing to reach down and say, I love you anyway. I'll take you just as you are. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come, learn from me. Take my yoke upon you. That's a good God. That's a good, good Father. And he saves you. He puts his Holy Spirit, something supernatural takes place, and he starts changing my thoughts. He changes my attitude. He changes my wants. He changes my desire. He changes my life. That's what the book of Romans does. That's what God's word will do if you allow him to use, by the power of the Holy Spirit, use his word to just penetrate our hearts. That's what God does. He changes lives and he transforms lives. That's Romans. We talked about the Apostle Paul and about being a slave. I'm not going to go into that right now. And God's love. Let's just read. And I'm going to shut up. You guys know that I have a hard time doing that. I really am, because I think the Lord wants me to do something specific this morning, which is a little different. But somebody wouldn't mind reading Romans chapter 1. 1 to 7, we went through all this last week, and so I really encourage you, if you didn't listen, it's important, go online, homefellowshipchurch.com, and listen to that teaching so that you can start us off right. Okay, somebody wouldn't mind reading Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Don't everybody volunteer at once. We can all just sit here. Okay, thank you. Shirley?
Paul, a servant or slave of Jesus Christ,
right on.
Called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, for whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To those who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints.
Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to do this. Normally what we do is we still are going to go through verse by verse, but I'm going to skip a few verses and go back to it. Because I think the Lord wants to do something. The Lord woke me up at about 3 in the morning the other night and kind of downloaded some stuff in me. And so when God does that, sometimes I have my own agenda that I want to accomplish, and God says, I want you to go this way. And then I wrestle with him, but I'm not ready for that, Lord. And he says, yeah, just do it anyway. So I think we're going to just go with what the Lord wants instead of what I want. And so let's read through these next verses together. If 1 through 7 was kind of like the who's writing this letter, Paul, the Apostle Paul, the servant, the slave of Jesus Christ, the next few verses, like 8 to 15 is kind of like, or 8 to 17 is kind of like the why Paul is writing this letter. He hasn't been to Rome yet. He wants to go, man. Paul's life was a life of purpose. You know what I mean? He wasn't satisfied with just being a Christian, coming to church, sitting around, getting fed. He had a purpose in his life. I mean, he wanted to help train up other people. He wanted to help preach the gospel. He wanted to help disciple people. You know, you could very easily, right, sit at home, eat bonbons, and watch TV and play video games. I mean, that could be your life, couldn't it? I mean, you're still saved. Why not just do that? But God, if he's called you, if he saved you, if he's sanctifying you, he's calling you for a purpose that goes beyond yourself. He's calling you to minister and disciple others. He's calling you. You know, there was a comic strip. I tried to find the exact comic strip. A Snoopy. Everybody knows who Snoopy is, right? The dog. Okay. I tried to find the exact comic strip. I only found a little portion of it, but so I didn't put it up on the screen, but I put this one up there. And it's the comic strip. You'll have to envision it since I didn't get time to get it all up there. It's basically, it's between Linus and Snoopy. And so Linus is there speaking to Snoopy, and he says, "Some dogs are fun to play with. Some dogs chase sticks when you throw them. And some dogs chase sticks and then bring them back." Says that to Snoopy. Snoopy says, "Well, some dogs are pretty dumb." Linus starts to throw a stick to disinterested Snoopy. "Here, Snoopy, chase the stick. I bet if you tried it once, you'd think it was fun." Walking away, Snoopy says, "That's why I don't want to start. I'm afraid I might enjoy it." And then Linus, persevering, tosses the stick one more time, and he says sadly, "You won't do it, huh?" And Snoopy says, "Nope," and he walks away. Lying on top of his doghouse, he says wistfully, "I want people to have more to say about me after I'm gone then. He was a nice guy, and he chased after sticks." Now that's a cute little cartoon, but it has a spiritual meaning, I think. A lot of us are chasing after sticks. Do you know what I'm saying? You're running after things that don't matter. Let me just put it back to me so you don't think it's like bad, 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 bad. We're running after things. I'm running after things that don't matter. We're chasing sticks. We're chasing after things that aren't going to last. It's all going to burn, right? What's going to really matter, folks? You tell me. What's going to really matter when it's all said and done? What's going to matter in your life? When you're standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, what's going to matter? Is it going to matter that you worked that extra 20 hours that week? Is it going to work that you were able to buy that boat or pay off? What's really going to matter to Jesus as you stand before him? Yes. What you did for him and what you do for Jesus Christ. So Paul has this longing, man. Wherever he goes, man, he just wants to share the word with you. And I love that. And so we're going to read through some of this, and I'm going to purposely, you know, last week we got into tremendous depth. Every single word relating to, like, the Greek and what it means. We're not going to do that this time, because, again, there's a purpose I think the Lord wants me to share. And if it's from him, it'll do good, and if it's not, then it'll tank. But we have to trust the Lord. Okay, so verse 8. Would somebody mind reading? I'm starting to read. And okay.
"First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world."
Okay, yes.
"God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith.
Okay, stop right there for a second. I'm just going to go with 11 and 12 for a second, okay? So just work with me here for just a second. I love Paul because he's saying, man, he's never even met these folks, but they want the word. And you know what? I love people who want to know the Lord better. Like, if you want to know the Lord better, I get jazzed up about it. You know, we'll give you material. We'll spend time with you. We'll start another Bible study. Whatever you want. You know, if you want audio stuff, if you, whatever. However we can encourage and equip you, we want to do it. That's the heart here. That's the heartbeat of the Lord. And Paul, man, Paul's like, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. And that's pretty cool. It's like Paul wants to encourage and equip them spiritually. He doesn't even know what God's going to do when he gets out there, what spiritual gift or what. He just knows, I just want to encourage you. I just want to strengthen you. I just want to equip you in some way, build you up. That should be our heart, right? That should be our heart towards our kids. That should be our heart towards our neighbors. That should be our heart to those people around you in school. That should be your heart to folks in the youth group, in the body. That should be your heart. How can we help build them, strengthen them, encourage them in the Lord, right? And we don't do it with just stories. We do it with the Word of God. That's what strengthens us, right? Paul's heart was this. Everybody turn really quickly to Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 14. That was his heart.
Ephesians 4 what?
Yes, 11 to 14. If you wouldn't mind, you're there, would you mind?
And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man to measure of the stature which belongs to the fulfillment of Christ.
So God basically wants to build us up with the Word of God so that everybody can be mature. Because you know what? If we don't know the Word of God, the times are here. I want to almost say the times are coming, but they're here. I'm watching Christians being, maybe you see it, they're being blown around here by this wind of doctrine, blown around here. Everybody, this, that, the other. It's crazy. Where are the Christians that are stable? You know those ones that are stable? You know why they're stable? Because they're planted like a tree by streams of living water that's going to yield its fruit in season. They're rooted in the Word of God. Down deep, those roots go. So that when the storms come, the winds rise, it may be shaken, but it doesn't fall. We need to be those kind of people. And you can't just come on Sunday. Now, I'm hoping that in the next few weeks, we're going to start, the next little bit here, that we'll be able to start another Old Testament Bible study. On Thursday nights, maybe. That's my hope. And so, but, you know, if you have any chance you have to study the Word of God, get into it. Do it. Do it for yourself. Listen, here. Okay, I didn't intend on doing this, but I have it. It's happened, and I saw him here this morning. Listen, if you've never read through the New Testament, maybe you call yourself, I shouldn't say that. That sounds derogatory. If you call yourself a Christian, I did for a while, and I never even read the New Testament all the way through. And so this particular devotional will take you through it. You want to?
Yeah, reading
is good. It's good. It's just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It will take you through from John chapter 1, verse 1. It has little comments by like Beth Moore, Billy Graham, folks like that. It'll take you through John chapter 1, verse 1 to Revelation, to the end of Revelation. If you would like this, and you would like, I'll give it to you free as a gift. We will give it to you free as a gift in Jesus' name. We just want you to start it. We just want you to read it. We just want you to be encouraged. We just want you to be blessed. Let me give you a few more. I love it. I love the word going out. And this, oh, I'm so sorry, Gary. This church wants to give that to you as a gift in Jesus' name. Just read it. And every time, before you pick it up, who else? I saw other hands. Okay, good. I saw other hands raised up. Every time before you read the Word of God, I want you to pray, and I want you to ask the Lord to speak to you. Okay? Not just reading the words. I want you to ask The Holy Spirit of God. Say, God, will you please speak? You teach me. Because it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us all things. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. All right, somebody raise their hand and want to say something? Okay, so I'll make sure. And you know, Paul was such a great example in so many ways, you know. He go to 2 Corinthians real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 14 to 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 to 15. Paul didn't want anything from folks. He was just there to serve. You know what I mean? We're so self-focused in our culture, even in our churches, that we make it all about me. It's not about us, guys. It's about Jesus. 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 He's the one that changes lives. He's the one that's going to transform you. We just need to pour out what we get from him, right, to other people. He didn't want anything, and neither should we. Sometimes we get resentful, especially if you've been a Christian a long time, right? You know, when people are growing, you give, and you don't get much back, right? In fact, maybe you get the backhand of fellowship sometimes, you know? Not very fun. But Paul didn't want anything. He just wanted to pour out. What does that say? Do you have that verse open? There's Carl Neely, somebody, since you're right there.
14 and 15.
Yeah, I think so. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 to 15. Wrote it down right.
Now for the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome for you, to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Though the more abundantly
That's good enough. I'll very gladly spend it all for your souls. I don't know if some of your translations say anything different than that. What does it say?
You said 1 Corinthians?
2 Corinthians. Yeah, chapter 12, 14 to 15. What does yours say, Alicia?
It says, now I'm coming to you again the third time, and it is still not going to cost you anything, for I don't want your money, I want you.
I love that. Did you hear that? That's a great translation. Hey, I don't want your money, I want you. I want you. Jesus wants your heart. He doesn't want... Look, you put a check in the tithe box. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I don't know what you give. Thank you for doing that. But you know what? God really doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. If your heart's right, that's going to overflow to the people around you. That's more important. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And that's what he wants. He always wants your heart. And so, and I love Paul too, you know, like it says in verse 12, back in Romans, it says, you know, when he's saying, I long to see you that I may impart some spiritual gift to make you strong. You know what, I want to tell you, there was a story, actually it's coming to mind before I read verse 12. The founder of Salvation Army was a guy by the name of General... Well, he wasn't, his name wasn't General, it was his title. General William Booth, okay? And he started an incredible movement. Now you guys know, might know the Salvation Army is just kind of thinking about food and stuff like that. But they were so much more when God was first using these folks. And the founder, William Booth, he had an opportunity to stand before the Queen of England herself back in the day. Now you can imagine this. Here's this preacher guy, he's... You know, on fire Methodist preacher, and he's coming in, and he has an audience before the Queen. And the Queen says to him, the founder of Salvation Army, he says to William Booth, he goes, he asked, what can I do for you? The Queen of England, with all her power, all her majesty, all her jewels, all her money, all her backing, what can I do for you? And I think she was expecting him to say, how about some money? I mean, how about some backing? How about some, you know, help here? How about some... He didn't ask for any of that. In fact, I wrote down what he said to the Queen when she asked what she could do for him. He replied, Your Majesty, some people's passion is money. Some people's passion is pain. is fame and recognition. My passion is people. Wow. He wanted to serve people. He wanted to help people. The best way you can help them is by showing them Jesus, by teaching them his word. That's how you can help someone. Jesus said it best in Mark. He said, you know, the Son of Man, here he is. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. So I'm encouraging you, and I'm telling you, some of us, need to step it up a bit. We need to step up, and we need to step out. As the Lord leads us, mm-hmm. and start serving. Absolutely. Now, I'm not saying you have to do this. You ask the Lord, how can I serve others? How can I bless others? How can I encourage others? And you do that in Jesus' name. So I pray in Jesus' name that somebody would be right now, that God would be speaking to you, your heart, that God would have you step up. Because it's such a blessing when you serve. And I will give to you. You know, that verse 12 that says, you know, then he goes on to say, that is, in Romans, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by one another's faith. I love that. Paul understood that mutualness. You know what I mean? Like he understood the more you... Sometimes it's hard for us to get out of our comfort zone, right? Yeah. Right? Hard to go to Bible study. Well, some people, I only go to the Bible study so I can get what I can get. Well, some people go to the Bible study to give what they can give. Mm-hmm. And in so giving, they end up getting. Mm-hmm. You know, to be honest... When Gary first started the men's group, we're now in the book of 1 Samuel. I don't know, there was like 8 to 12 of us this past time. Such a great time. It's a great time. I had multiple guys saying, wow, you know what? I'm so glad we came. If I hadn't been out here, man, this is what we need. It's good fellowship. It's the word of God. Multiple guys were telling me that. And I was like, yeah. But you know what, Gary? I'll be honest with you. The first time I started coming out there was to encourage you. That was...
Actually, I knew that.
Okay. Well, you know, but as you've gone on, and as the Word of God is working in your own heart, and now you're starting to overflow. And when if I'm missing the men's group, I'm like, oh, man, I want to get there. Mm-hmm. Because now, even though I was trying to be a blessing to you, there's like two guys there, whatever, now I'm the one that's blessed when I go. And I'm the one that's encouraged. And my joy is complete by watching God work in you and the other men. You know what I mean? We'll get the joy if we do the serving. If you do it with the right heart. Right? That's right. I did send a slide. I did do a slide on that. 1 John 1, 3, and 4 says this. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, and we're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. We're sharing the gospel with you guys. Well, you think that would be an incredible blessing. God's going to change your life. He's going to change your direction. Wow! You think your joy would be great, but no, he's saying our joy. When you follow the Lord, man, I get jazzed. I love it. I love to see the youth serving. I love when an adult gets on fire. I love when somebody's stretched in their faith. I love when I see somebody serving. I love it. I love it. I love it. My joy is made complete. It's that mutuality. It's not a one-way street. If you're looking at serving and ministering like, oh, I'm going to serve these dang people, you are missing it. The enemy is robbing you of everything. And it's taking the mission. What a joy! That's the cool thing. Go ahead. You were raising your hand after you speak.
I think the life of a Christian should be what Paul says in Galatians 2:20. It is therefore no longer I, but Christ.
Yes.
Amen. It's no longer I live, but Christ lives within me. Now, does that happen just you flitter through life? Is that what I'm understanding? You just flow through life every day. It's not me, but Christ within me. Or is it a conscious choice where you wake up and say, Okay, and this, maybe even the daily choice in this situation, I'm going to choose to do, well, I mean, what is it? Tell me, am I asking him?
I think it has a lot to do with where there's like a scripture where it starts talking about all these individuals who do these things will not inherit the earth or whatever, and then it starts talking about self-control, and I think that's a big key when it comes to it is no longer I but Christ. We must have self-control and allow the scriptures and a conscience choice, like you said, to allow to transform our minds so that it is no longer I but Christ.
Now, I noticed, Scott, I noticed you shaking your head. Is there anything you want to share?
No, I think that's it. We've talked about that on Tuesdays as well, is that I think we're all consistently praying a lot less of me, Lord, more of you in our lives. And I think that's part of that. And it is a daily walk.
It is. Absolutely.
One step at a time.
One step at a time. That's right. Amen. Did you want to say something? Come on, yes you do.
No, I was just going to chime in. Just say
chime in!
It's a daily thing for me. Sometimes it's hourly, too. You know, when you're frustrated or overwhelmed.
Minute by minute.
You know, like I said, I just very, you know, try to control things all the time. You know, situations, you know, the day doesn't always go smooth. I mean, and it's not just one situation. Sometimes there are several situations where you're just like, oh, Lord, I want to do this, but I want you to have your way. So, Father, just, you know, take it. I feel that's right. But, you know, just once in a while.
Yeah.
But my heart is, I wanted to take control.
Good word.
Yes.
Because we're in the book of Romans, if we look at 19, it says, "For through the law, I died to the law, that I might live to Christ. I have been crucified with Christ, that it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and was delivered himself up for me."
It scares me a little bit. You know, sometimes we can be very selfish and self-centered. I would be without Christ. But if that's all you think about is yourself during the day, you're doing something wrong. You need to surrender that. Yeah.
Going to say that when Christ is living in you and living for Christ and just the way that we handle life on a daily basis, it's not normal.
It's against the flow.
It is. Like if somebody says something to your face that makes you upset, normal or in the flesh, we would react in the same way. But when we have Christ in our lives and we allow Him to make these changes, it's not normal how we would react. Like that example, you know, like you would not get angry or you would ask for forgiveness even though it's not your fault. It's not normal. It's just not. And the world sees it, and you know, they might think that you're crazy because you're not reacting how the world thinks. You know, even if it's our right. Like, we are in our right to react this way. But we're choosing to give that up to the Lord. And
that's a witness and testimony for
you. Can't tell it.
You know it's going to be a good story when one of them says, "You going to tell it?" Okay.
Actually, I was kind of hoping he would tell it. But just an example of what that looks like is Adam took Big Red's truck for usual maintenance, servicing, whatever, and they detailed and painted the truck, and they broke his the side mirror, which he didn't notice at first, and then when he realized and brought it to their attention, he was like, "Oh well, like no big deal."
The guy was like,
Adam said that.
And if you know Adam at all, you would know that that is a completely unusual response.
The God thing.
So instead
of, like, you have every right to be pissed off.
Right.
It is what it is, man.
Yeah.
Just get fixed.
So people who say that we don't have miracles anymore are really wrong. Because that was not a usual reaction at all.
That's great. It says in verse 13 back in Romans, he goes, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers. He's talking in Romans. He says, I planned many times to come to you, but I've been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the Gentiles. He says, I am obligated, both to Greeks and the non-Greeks, both to the wise and foolish. What he's saying there, some of your Bible translations say, I'm obligated to both Greeks and barbarians. Anybody, Greeks were very intellectual, very philosophical, so if you weren't a Greek, you were looked down upon. You were called the barbarians, because it just sounded like bar, 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 bar. They just thought you were just some sort of, you know, if you weren't a Greek, you were just one of the lower class. And so, it was like, it's either the Greek or non-Greeks. That's basically everybody. To the wise, to the foolish. That just means to the intelligence and those who aren't. Everyone. Paul sees himself, and he can't even rest until he gets the word out to everybody. He's like, I'm obligated. And I don't know about you, but, you know, what a freshness would come from our motivation if we felt more of an obligation. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could shut your door and be safe with your family, and be safe with your husband, and be safe with your wife, be safe in your house, be safe with your TV. But, you know, what if we saw ourselves as, like, we're a great debtor to the Lord and a great debtor to them? You know what I mean? Like, when I think back, I taught people out of the Lord before God, like, supernaturally revealed himself to me. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how many people did I talk away from the Lord? Or do things that caused them to go away from the Lord? Could you see yourself as a great debtor to the Lord or to your community? If you saw that, you would see people differently. It would help you to do that. Wouldn't it? What a change you could make at your school, with the kids, if we saw ourselves more as like a debtor, you know? This kind of indebtedness might even make us run the risk of looking like a fool and talking about Jesus or asking somebody to pray with them in the shopping center. I love it. You know what I mean? He goes on to say, I'm obligated. And he goes, that's why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. Now, the really cool verses 16 and 17, I'm not going to do that. I'm either going to do it next week for Easter or an Easter message, but I'm going to hold off on that. But there was the first few verses, if you read verse 8 to 10. And what he was saying is he's talking about prayer. He's saying, I'm serving God with my whole heart. If you read those verses, he's talking about so much about prayer. He's like, man, I remember you in my prayers all the time. I pray now that I can come. I pray, I pray, I pray. And that's what I felt like the Lord wanted to talk about this morning, was prayer and the importance of it. Now, I don't know how the prayer meeting went this last Friday. I had to miss it. We had puppy pickouts, which is part of what we do to help stay in the ministry. And so I wasn't able to be here. But they've changed the format of the prayer time. And it's less singing and more praying, which I really like. I love worshiping too, so don't get me wrong. And sometimes I pray during worship. But I really love it that we're digging in prayer. And I missed. Poor Gary. I texted Gary since I couldn't come. I don't know how many pages of text of things to pray for since I couldn't come. You know, what, 7, 8 pages of it? You know, but I'm loving this. I'm loving to pray for people. And I want to just encourage us in prayer. You know, there was something that a brother, I should have mentioned that, and that, oh well. You know, God gave a prophetic word here through somebody, and it was confirmed. But God gave us a prophetic word, and I don't say that lightly, but he gave us a prophetic word. He says he wants prayer to be a major engine for Home Fellowship Church. Now, I have to be honest with you. There's a lot of individual prayer at home, which I'm so thankful for, but it hasn't been a major engine, just to be honest with you. And so I'm jazzed. I'm jazzed with what's been going on. The new time with the prayer helps as well, because making it a little bit earlier. I think there was like 8 people out here, you know, just sitting here praying for us, praying for the body, praying for the community. I love it. But he wants prayer to be a major engine of this church. It reminds me, there's a story of 5 students who wanted to see Charles Spurgeon and went to his church. And these five students, man, they had heard of him, his renown, his passion for the Lord. He went to go see him. And so they got there early. The doors for the church were still locked. And so there was this guy out there, and he's like, you know, they were kind of bummed that they had to wait. The doors were shut. So this guy came out, and he said, hey, do you want to see what really heats up the church? You know? And so the college students who really wanted to hear Spurgeon preach and teach were like thinking, no, we don't want to see what heats the church. Who cares? You know? We want to hear him teach. But they didn't want to be rude. So they said, okay, you know. And they're thinking, it's a hot July day. It's the middle of July. Why do we want to go see what heats the church? But they said, okay, we'll go with you. So he gave them a tour of the church and then went down to the basement into the boiler room. He quietly opened the door, and there, when he opened the door, was 700 people quietly praying for that church service and for Charles Spurgeon whenever he would preach. And he quietly whispered to them, this is what heats the church. Isn't that the truth? And so there's a couple things I want to talk about, and
we should have that.
In prayer. So just, Lord, please, I'm just going to take a minute and pray right now. I don't have any, I've got slides, but they're not really made for this. And so, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would direct even this next little section on prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, please, Lord. Amen. Well, the first thing I want to say is God wants prayer to be relational. Do you know what I mean by that? Like,
conversation.
Yes. Prayer is not a monologue only, where you just, God, I want you to do this, 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 and this, and this. He wants it to be a dialogue where you can share with him, and then you can listen, and he can share with you. And intimacy, absolutely. And listen, it's for believers too. Go really quickly in your Bibles. I'm going to jump around for a few minutes. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. It is absolutely relational. And it's interesting to me too, and you can find this, you can look at your Bibles later, in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says that the disciples, they asked Jesus to teach them something. And this is cool. If you're walking with Jesus, and he's healing people, you know, eyes are growing back, paralyzed people are walking, people are being changed. You know, if I was one of those disciples, I'd be thinking, I'm going to ask Jesus, Lord, teach me how to heal people. Because I want to know, because that's amazing. Or teach me how to do miracles. He fed 5,000 people with a couple of fishes and some loaves. I want to know how to do that. Lord, teach me how to serve. You're such a servant. You wash the disciples' feet. Wow, I want to serve like you. Lord, teach me to preach. When you speak, people are changed. I want that, Jesus. But they didn't ask for any of those cool things. What did they ask for in Luke chapter 11, verse 1? He asked, they said, Lord, will you teach me how to pray? Why do you think they asked him that? That's it. Did what? And how? What else? It is powerful. I think that's why.
It can use to support the brothers and sisters in Christ, and can also use to fight against the enemy.
That's exactly right, for both things. And I think they saw Jesus doing that. I think they saw him praying like that. And they realized that's where the power comes from. Do you know what I mean? Like, we live in an electronic age. Everybody here has cell phones or iPads or iPhones or i-somethings, right?
Yeah.
If you don't, well, most of us do. If you don't charge that baby up every day, what happens? It's dead. Now, that doesn't mean it's still not an iPhone. It's just not charged up. And so you can't do anything with it, right?
In the same way God wants you to be with him, spend time with him, plug into him so he can charge you up. Right? That's what prayer does. But he wants it to be relational. Even then, look in verse like 9, how he starts off. He says, this then is how you should pray. And he starts off with our Father. Isn't that cool? Dad. Abba. Daddy. It's a relationship with him. Isn't it? God wants, you know, when he walked with Adam and Eve, he walked in the garden with them. And he talked with them. God wants to talk with you right now. He wants to guide your day. He wants to direct your steps. Every step of the way. Go to Mark, remember Matthew? Go real quickly to Mark chapter 1. And I just love this little story. Jesus is healing people. He just healed Simon's mother-in-law. And we're going to start chapter 1, verse 32. And if somebody wouldn't mind reading, starting to read those verse 32 to 39. Who would mind reading that, please, for me? That parable.
When evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak, because they knew who he was.
Now, I think that's really awesome. Here Jesus is. He's healing the whole town up to the middle of the night. You know, if that was me, I'm ministering to the wee hours of the night. The whole town's there. And you know what I'd be doing in the morning? Hitting the snooze button. Right? But I love Jesus. He doesn't do that. I'd be like, man, I need some rest. I really ministered hard. But what's Jesus' example to us? What does he do? Continue to read.
In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there.
Now, isn't that cool? Jesus didn't hit the snooze button. He didn't sleep in. He didn't take the day off. He got up early to pray because he knows that he needed to be recharged. He needs direction from the Father. That's our example right there. And then listen to this. Keep going.
Simon and his companion searched for him. They found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." He said to them, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for."
I just think, and then that's what they did. So I think it's so funny. Here the disciples are like, "Man, Jesus, everyone's looking for you. You just healed the whole town. Great, we got ministry happening. Let's just do it." Right? That would be logical, wouldn't it? But yet he got together with the Father and prayed. And Father God is just like, "No, we want you to go off in this direction and go another way." Okay? That's where our direction is going to come from. So sometimes we'll get recharged, and sometimes we'll get redirected from the Lord. But we need to be asking him. So here are some things. George, can you bring that other thing up in prayer? I just opened it up this morning, if you wouldn't mind. Thanks, I appreciate it. You know, Jeremiah 33:3 says to call to the Lord and he'll answer you and he'll teach you great unsearchable things you don't know. We're not going to go through all this stuff. This is from another teaching, so I'm going to just scroll through a little bit. In just a minute. And let me ask you, as I'm going through this, why do we pray? I want to hear you. Why do we pray?
Give thanks?
That is one of the reasons. Absolutely right. We thank the Lord. We need to be thanking him continually. Good. Why else?
Hopefully to get God's work accomplished.
That's right. To get God's work accomplished. What does he want you to do? We can spend our whole lives doing what we want to do. Yes, Pinky Tuscadero.
To give us guidance, to help us through the day.
Yeah. Absolutely. Great answer. To give us guidance daily, right?
Yeah.
A great answer. Yes?
To develop a relationship with them. Yes.
What do you mean, develop a relationship?
Stay in communication with the Creator.
stay in communication with the Creator. Yes.
Yeah, there's an acronym, ACTS. Have you heard of that? Adoration. Yeah,
yes.
Confession, thanksgiving, and supplication.
Yes. You know what? And that does work for some people. I don't like that.
Yeah, that changes us.
You know what? Those things are good to do. Don't get me wrong. But in my mind, at least for me personally, like I had a great prayer life until somebody told me like these acronyms, like I don't get it. So I was like, I would just talk to the Lord. God, what do you want me to do? I thank him, I praise. Then I'm like, wait, I'm not adoring him. Wait, now I'm contrition. Wait, no, I got it out of order. Wait a minute, I'm doing it wrong. You know what I mean? God just wants you to talk with him. He wants you to listen to him. So those things can be super helpful. And if they are, great. But
there.
He really just wants to hear.
What it helps me do, though, why I like it, is because it helps me remember
yes.
to adore and say thanks before I
yes.
jump straight into the help me.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? So
yes.
that's what I tend to do. Lord, I need
yes.
to, you know, and it reminds me to step back and say,
yeah.
what am I here for? Not
yes.
me first.
That's right.
That's why I like
you.
It.
Yeah. Good.
Yes.
Go ahead, either one of you.
I was just going to say, he's supposed to be your closest, most intimate friend. Like you're connected at the hip to each other.
Yes.
You talk to him constantly during the day. You're sharing with him your joys, your sorrows, your anxieties. And as she said, you ask for guidance and deliverance. And it's just it's a way of life. I mean, he's just all encompassing you in everything that you say, everything you do, everything you see, everything you feel.
Yes. Why else? Go ahead, yes.
I was just going to say that his purpose is to conform us into his image.
Mm-hmm.
And as we spend time with him like that, that's exactly what he does. He changes us
yes.
and conforms us into his likeness. And that's an essential part of our development as a believer,
Amen.
To be like Christ.
Amen. There's also a battle going on around us in the spiritual realm. Is that what you're going to mention, Greg? Okay, go.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I usually pray for God to help me get through whatever's going on and whatever's hindering me from serving him, because we are battling. So I need his guidance and his power.
Yes.
So
we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and heavenly places. There's a whole battle going around. If you guys have never read Frank Peretti's This Present Darkness, man, you got to get that book. It's in the Lunar Library. We got an audio, too. Or C.S. Lewis' Screwtape Letters. Another excellent one. Or Lord Falkland's Letter, also in the Lunar Library. You can take it out for free. Sherry Brower, you're raising your card.
I was reading a devotional on prayer, and I just can't say it as well as Mark Battison said it. Okay. Habakkuk 2:1 says, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. The watchmen were the first to see, and they saw the farthest. So it is with those who pray. Intercessors are watchmen and watchwomen. They see sooner and see farther in the spiritual realm. Why? Because prayer gives us a unique vantage point.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen. Good. A couple more. I'll proceed. Yes.
I just know with the intercessory prayer stuff. I mean, I remember one question I used to ask myself, like, how do people pray for an hour? How do people pray for that long of a time? You know, might like 5 minutes, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I just read somewhere not too long ago, there's a refresher, you know, like when we start taking our prayer life off of ourselves, you know, put it towards others,
mm-hmm.
you'd be amazed how long your prayer time goes, because you're not just praying for me, what can I, you know, that kind of stuff. We're praying for others and their needs and their stuff. And when you start thinking about how many people are out there that need prayer,
oh my goodness,
imagine
yeah.
how long your prayer time can go.
Amen. Sure.
I would just say intercessory prayer, maybe a supplication for the saints, standing in a gap for somebody, or in Ephesians we read about the full armor of God.
Yes.
Put all of that on.
Yes.
And it's all defensive. I mean, the only offensive weapon we have is the
yeah.
sword of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Which is the
word of God. Yeah, yeah. I need to go on with that in prayer. And you know, there's a scripture, I even think I had it back here, sorry. I usually pay attention on this, but I don't have time for that today. Let's give you a second. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, we are to make, we are to pray, and we are to pray purposefully. You know, God does say, I urge you first of all, that
requests. That's when we're like, Lord, will you help me with this situation? You know, will you take care of this need? Will you help this person, you know, to make those requests, prayers? You know, when you're just like, oh, Lord, thank you. I love you. You're awesome. It's that adoration that you were talking about, you know, and then that intercession. And that's when you're praying and you're taking the hits for somebody. In other words, you're telling the Lord, this person's getting attacked. Lord, I want to stand in the gap for that person. The enemy's coming after them. Lord, I want to take the hits for them. I'm going to wrestle with God, wrestle in prayer for that person. Where you're taking those fiery darts for them. And Thanksgiving, you know, where you just like we read in Jude, man, we just overflowed with thankfulness, that, you know, doxology that we read, you know, when you're just thanking the Lord, you know. And so he does want us to pray purposefully, and God says that. But he also wants us to pray positionally. Now, what does that mean? Is it important from what position you pray?
No.
No.
I pray on prayer.
Kneeling can be.
Are you standing in victim or standing in accountability?
We need, position? We need to be praying where, in our relationship with God, where we are in relationship to Him.
The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. And I think positionally is when we get really still before God, and we actually experience Him and His fullness, and that both gives us revelation into Him, but also us. When I'm really still before God, I see Him, but I also, He reveals who I am, both the good and the bad.
Now, people don't like when I say, does it matter how we pray positionally? Now, let me just say, you can pray standing up, sitting down, kneeling, on your face, sprawled out before the Lord, driving your car, just don't close your eyes. But you can pray, however, but it does matter positionally how you pray. Wait a minute, what did you just, wait, what did you, go ahead.
Well, I was thinking what we just read in Luke, you know, when Jesus went to a desolate place to pray, you know, for me, sometimes my heart's so good, but I don't go to that place, and so I begin a prayer, and all of a sudden distractions just come in. You know, it happens so often. That really spoke to me in Luke, when sometimes you just have to find that position of no distraction where you can actually do that interceding and praying. You know, like I pray in the car too, but sometimes there's those prayers where you just need to talk to the Father, and those distractions always come in my life. It's one of the probably a huge weakness of mine as far as a prayer goes. Yeah. So that really spoke to me, just finding that place where I can just be with the Lord.
There's also a scripture in Luke 18 as well. If you would turn there with me as I find it. The parable of the Pharisee and the taskmaster. This is what I mean by praying. You know, I don't think... you know, there's a difference between praying to God and man. But I think this little teaching tells us to pray positionally. What the position of our heart?
Yeah.
Like God, I demand you got claim that you're gonna break down the view. You better like that's your Dubois. Do you know what I mean? He's the king of the universe. Yes, mm-hmm. You know, I'm all for holding on to his promises. You know what I'm saying? You don't tell God. You know what I mean? How we come to God is important. Positionally. And so somebody read, please, Luke chapter 18, 9 through 14. Would you read that, Josh? Do you mind?
Yes, the guy praying in the...
He wants to give up the...
Okay.
This Josh or the other Josh?
It doesn't matter. You Josh.
He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other.
For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted.
This does make a difference positionally, doesn't it, Gary?
The beginning of the Lord's Prayer. I mean, you know, Jesus, our Father. I mean, yes, he's our Father, but hallowed be your name. You're the creator of the universe. Yes. I mean, and that's the basis. Without that, nothing else works.
Good. Yes, Hector.
I think if you're also talking about positionally, then it's also that we got to have that understanding that we are seated in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father.
We
Jesus
are in his
Christ.
Case.
Yeah. So
he wants us to come to him, doesn't
yeah.
he? He asks that we come to him.
So
we come boldly before the throne. Yes, good.
Yeah. Our pastor in Atlanta used to always talk about the difference between where we are positionally and where we are in practice, right? So the man who was beating the tax collector, who was beating his breast saying, "Have mercy on me, a sinner," that's us because we are sinners.
Yeah.
In practice, we're sinners.
Yeah.
Positionally, we're heirs of the throne.
Yeah.
Positionally, we're righteous,
yes.
right? Because of the
Christ.
Blood of Christ.
Yes.
And I think that if we're looking for reasons to adore or to give thanksgiving to the Lord, it's right there,
yeah.
right? I mean, here it is. Here's this guy pouring his heart out. Man, I don't deserve this, Lord. I don't deserve your love. I don't deserve to even be even crying out to you.
Yes.
But you make it so. You allow me to be righteous. You allow me to be your son
That's right.
through the blood of Jesus.
Yes. There's a... Since we're already in Luke right there, let me just zip over really quickly. I think it's even in 18. I started to go back to Romans, but give me just a second. I think it's in Luke 18, verse 1. Give me a sec. We're to pray positionally. We're to pray purposefully. But we're also to pray perseveringly.
Sharon, while you're looking for that, can
sure,
I just
okay.
add, when I think of positionally, I'm reminded that before Jesus, they couldn't go directly to God. They had to go. Everything was through a priest.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And how wonderful that is.
Yes.
That we can approach.
Yes.
The throne.
Amen.
Without mm-hmm. somebody being a go-between, we have Jesus.
Yes.
He's our
that's right.
And that's a blessing within itself to be allowed to pray.
Amen. Mm-hmm. There's one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome that he makes the way?
Yes.
It says in Luke 18:1. We won't have time to go through the whole parable, but Jesus told the parable of the persistent widow, but in Luke 18:1, Jesus told the disciples a parable to show them that they should pray, always, always pray, and never give up. Isn't that cool? Some people think you just pray and you leave it there. No, God wants us to pray and pray continually. That's what 1 Thessalonians says. So basically, we pray purposefully, we pray positionally, we pray perseveringly, but also we pray passionately. James 5:16 says this, and I love this. It says, confess your sins to one another, but it also says, pray for each other so that you may be healed. And it says, the prayer of a righteous man, or I would say a woman, is powerful and effective. And I like how the King James says that one better. I don't know. The prayer, how does it say in the King James? I'm trying to remember.
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you'll see this too. Let me go through it. Maybe 5 more minutes. I know it's late, but just a bit. There's so much. Okay, now here's a question. But sometimes it's debated. Do we pray alone or together?
Both.
That's right. If you've ever read the Bible through, you're going to see scripturally it says both, not one or the other. Now, everybody who's all the me people will point you to Matthew 6:6. Can somebody read that for me real quick? Matthew 6:6. And then somebody else go to Acts 12:5-12. Okay, Matthew 6:6. I'm remembering, is that right? Okay, all right.
It says, but thou prayest, enter into thy closet.
Okay.
And when thou
hath shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward the opening.
Yes. Basically what it's saying there, don't, and right before that it's saying, don't pray like the Pharisees. They're doing it for show. Oh, I praise you, gracious Heavenly. See some of these guys? It's like probably amazing. It's almost like a production. Don't do that to be seen by men. They already have their rewards. He's saying, I want you to go in your closet. Pray what is in secret. Paul's been praying for these folks in Rome. They don't even know it. People are praying for you right now, and you don't even know it. Isn't that cool? You know who does know it? God does. But it also says in Acts 12, 5 to 12, verse 5 and verse 12, who says that? You remember what was going on when James and Peter were in prison, right? They beheaded James, and they're all praying, and they're praying together. Acts 12, what does that say? Acts 12, verse 5 and verse 12. George, would you read those two verses?
Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Her prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him.
Yes.
And in 12.
Yes, sir.
And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying.
Yes. So we could both. We always want to divide over stuff. We're crying out loud. You can pray alone. Great. Pray together. Pray. It's okay. Okay? It's all right. What about this one? John 14, there's power in prayer. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anybody who believes in me will do the same works I've done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. Listen to this, in verse 13 of John 14, he says, you can ask for anything in my name, and I'll do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me anything in my name, and I will do it. So that means that I can ask for a new Porsche. Is that correct? Home Fellowship Church?
You can ask.
What? It says I can ask for anything and he'll do it. So I'm going to go out there. There's going to be a new Bentley out there, right? New Rolls. Right? What does this mean? I thought I just claimed it. Don't I get it? What? What's going on?
It's anything according to his will.
Oh. That wouldn't bring God's glory.
That wouldn't bring God's glory, yes.
Yeah, all the things that Jesus did, he did because the Lord, the God the Father wanted it.
Yes.
And Jesus asked for us to do those things.
Yes. When he's saying in my name, he means in accordance with my character.
Now, God may want you to have a book.
But when Jesus asked for it, if you ask for anything in my name, according with my character, do you think if Jesus walked today, we went to a church, I shared this story before, my friend Michael went up there up north, and they asked me, he walked in, he goes, would you like to, the first thing they asked, would you like to, you won't get that here, would you like to contribute to the Jaguar ministry? It's like a Jaguar ministry. I told this one time to the youth, I'm like, why would somebody want a Jaguar? He's picturing, Jaguar's a fancy car, for those of you who don't know. And he goes, yeah, we're claiming that the pastor's going to get a Jaguar, and so we're praying for that. If Jesus was here today, would he be really praying for a Jaguar?
No,
of course he wouldn't. That's not in accordance with his name. Okay? It's not with his character. So in prayer, do we get a blank check from God? I think Michael already said it. Do we get a blank check?
No.
No, of course not. It needs to be in accordance with his name, or as 1 John 5:14 to 15 says, this is the confidence we have approaching God, that if we ask anything, here's a little phrase all those name and claimers were getting, according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we'll have what we ask of him. That's the key here, according to his will. And what about if there's unanswered prayers in your life? And I got to kind of wrap it up because it's getting a little long. What about unanswered prayers in your life? If God does answer these prayers, what do we do then? Why? Well, here's some reasons. Okay? Sometimes we don't get because we haven't asked, or we ask with the wrong heart motive. Okay? Listen, guys, James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 says this, you do not have because you don't ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you can spend it on your own pleasures. Right?
James 4.
That's why you're not getting it. Maybe you're not getting it what you're asking for because you're not asking for selfish motives. Or how about Proverbs 21:13? Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. Ouch. Maybe you're being selfish and greedy. That's something to think about. Or how about Proverbs 28:9? Are you listening to God? You're wondering why your prayers are not being answered? Proverbs 28:9 says, if anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers will be detestable. You're doing this to God. La, 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 la. Can't hear you. Well, God's going to say, okay, why don't you go your own way for a while, see if you like that. And then Psalm 66:18 says this, I cried out to him with my mouth, his praise was on my tongue. But if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Mm-hmm. We're holding on to that sin. Look, I just feel like Jesus is so far away from me. Well, you're in this sinful pattern. Why do you think? That's blocking your relationship between you and your Heavenly Father. And then here's one more. Nobody's going to like this one. But it's true. 1 Peter 3:7.
This will also end your prayers.
Not treating your spouse well. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Every wife is going to be just giving this to their husband.
And every wife says amen.
Showing honor to the woman, since they are heirs with you by the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. So listen, guys. If you can't just do it out of the goodness of your heart, how about you do it so your own prayers don't get hindered? Maybe not the best motivation, but it's a start. And sometimes when God says no, you know what? There's just a higher purpose for it. God told Moses no to enter into the promised land because he was a representative of the law. Joshua, Jesus, brought people into it. That's what his name means. It's Jesus. He brought him into the promised land. Paul said, God said no to Paul for taking the thorn in the flesh away. Right? And he did that. You remember that's in 2 Corinthians 12, 7-10, to keep him humble. Sometimes it's God's timing. Remember Lazarus? Lazarus? They asked him, they said, Jesus, your friend is dying. If you don't get here, he won't be healed. He's going to die. And you know what happened? Jesus said, we're going to wait. They were so hurt when he finally arrived. Mary and Martha, they were in tears. They were mad at him, I think. Like, Lord, if you would have came, he would have lived. But he purposely delayed. How could God have done that? Because he wanted to show a greater, they knew God healed, but he wanted to show a greater revelation of himself than they knew. So sometimes it's timing. God wanted to show, not only can I heal, I can raise him from the dead. So don't give up on God. Sometimes it's just not the timing. And sometimes, honestly, it's just not his will. Well, God isn't willing to give me what I want. Sometimes the answer is no. Garth Brooks, God. Yeah, but Jesus, in Luke chapter 22:42, he said, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. I'm going to the cross. If you can take it, nevertheless, Father, your will be done. And some prayer tips. And I already gave all those, so I'm not going to, I think that's about it. Okay, that's good enough. Okay. Is there any questions or comments that anyone has on prayer before I'm going to leave? There's a few minutes of that. It's okay. A few minutes left, and then we'll close out in prayer. Yes?
What was prayer that I did?
Okay.
I always get concerned when they talk about things in the Word that are a little confusing to new believers or unbelievers, really, especially when you're younger, because there were several things that I just misunderstood, and that was reasons that I didn't come to God, I believe, but I just felt like it was too hard. I wasn't going to choose it until people came along and explained it. So the verse you guys are talking about where no longer I live, but Christ in me will live, I thought that meant that my personality and everything I liked and cared about would totally be washed away, and I thought, well, that's too hard to ask me to not be me, and that's not what it means. But I feel like nobody ever explains that at church. They just say that, and I feel like every unbeliever is going to be like, heck no, I'm never doing that. That's awful, but that's not really what it means. Like, God used your personality. He made you the way you were, the way you are. He just shines some light through you, and it reflects light instead of darkness like it was.
Amen. Like, you know, God, I'm a goofy guy. Yeah. Goofy, I have to be funny sometimes. I, you know, You know, but I used to use that in a way that I would just nail people and cut them down. It was hilarious, but now I use it to build it up. It's a whole other purpose. Good. What else? Is there anything else? Anyway, yes, ma'am. Before we close out.
I'd just like to say there's not a whole lot of scripture to back it up, except that one puts 1,000 to flight and two puts 10,000. But from our experience and almost 47 years of marriage, I would like to say this. I look here and I see there are couples here together. And I know it cannot maybe work for everybody because they may not have a partner. But if as couples you can learn and make the time as a couple to pray together, it makes a big difference in your home, your marriage, your children. If couples learn to pray together.
Thank you. Any other ones? Can I turn it back?
The last one.
And back the clock any other time. Pray continually. By the way, really quickly, just really quickly, that doesn't mean that you don't do anything else in your life but pray. That just means in every situation you ask the Lord. Okay, which one? This one?
Where it says when God says no.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry. Anything else? Okay, go ahead.
When the Word of God said that the Lord gives us the desires of our heart. And I believe that that means he places his desire in our heart. It's not our whim, okay? But it's his desire in our heart. And then as we pray that back to him, then we see the fulfillment of it. He gives us the desire of our heart, which was his desire.
Amen.
On top of that, when we first... the Lord placed the desire in our heart to go to what was then Rhodesia. Okay? And then, and we didn't know anybody, didn't know any pastors, nothing. The Lord had opened the doors because we were going out as faith ministers, and by faith. And the Lord impressed upon our hearts to not ask for support, but to get prayer support. Believing that if there were people praying for us and interceding for us, that our needs would be met and all the rest of it. We went through the Rhodesian War. We raised two children on the field. And 45 years later, I mean, we're still going back. The Lord has been so faithful, and I bring that back to the fact of the prayer support that we had.
Yes.
And we saw the fruit of it.
Sherry, would you grab that microphone? Come up here. Would you close this? Could you close this out and pray for us and our little body, if that's okay with you? You can. That's fine.
If anybody would like to join me, I'd like to be on my knees.
Lord Jesus, I love you. I just worship you, Lord. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. Lord, I thank you for speaking to Darren today and through him. Lord, prayer is so important. Just spending time with you, listening to your voice, reading your word, fellowshipping with you. Lord, guide us and direct us. Lord, I pray for this body. I pray that you would direct each person here. Give them a longing in their heart to spend time with you and to worship you and to listen to your voice, to know that you want to direct them, that you want to talk to them more than they want to talk to you. Lord, I pray for the children here, Lord, that you would call them to you. Lord, you said, let no man despise your youth. Raise up a generation that will serve you and honor you. Lord, help us not to get caught up in the cares and the politics and everything that's going on around us, but to seek your face and to listen to your voice, only your voice. Lord, I pray for Darren and his family. Lord, keep them faithful. Lord, I know they can be weary in well-doing. Help us to lift him up in prayer. Lord, guide his words and his actions. Lord, I pray for each one of his children that they would serve you all the days of their lives. Lord, I pray for Lisa. I pray that you would encourage her and strengthen her. Lord, I know you have a purpose for them. You have many things that are going to happen here at this church. Just guide each step. Lord, I pray that we would be in one accord and in fellowship. In your son's name I pray. Amen.
God bless you.
bless you guys. Have a great week.